listening to the New River Valley source for local news, WUVT-FM Blacksburg, Radford, Floyd, and Giles. I'm Camarian Millsaps. We start off today's show with the news headlines from Emily Whitesell. Emily?
Thank you, Camarian. In local news, Virginia Tech students may soon have a new way to get home. Plans are underway to provide bus service from Roanoke and Blacksburg to Lynchburg. The project, temporarily entitled the Bus-to-Rail Smartway Intercity Connector, would run from Roanoke to the Lynchburg train station daily and Blacksburg to the Lynchburg train station on weekends. Students wishing to travel on to Northern Virginia would be able to do so by train. Leon Alder, an employee at the Roanoke Valley Area Metropolitan Planning Organization, was quoted in the Collegiate Times as saying that the cost and the startup date depend on the amount of grant funding received. However, he estimates that a one-way ticket may cost $4 and that service may begin as early as this summer. Virginia Tech Administration is organizing a meeting of the university's alcohol task force. It will be the first gathering of the spring semester for the task force, which was formed in October by Ed Spencer, the Vice President of Student Affairs. The group is led by Assistant Vice President for Student Affairs, Rick Ferraro, and includes representatives from several tech departments, the town of Blacksburg, and the student body. As part of taking an active role to promote responsible drinking, several task force members are considering a policy based on the Actively Caring program, which distributes green wristbands to reward positive behavior. Employees at Virginia Tech could meet a decrease in income if Governor Bob McDonnell's proposed reforms to the state's retirement plan are approved by the State General Assembly. The changes would impact both the Virginia retirement system, and the optional retirement plan. Employees who opt for the VRS would see a 2% net drop in salary, while those who use ORP would see state contributions to their retirement fund drop by 1.9%. The Roanoke Times reports that on Friday, a Virginia House committee rejected a bill that would ban red light cameras at traffic lights in Virginia. The measure would have prevented the installation of these systems after June 1st. The rejection of the bill follows this week's release of figures from a study conducted by the Insurance Institute for Highway Safety. The study, based on statistics from 14 U.S. cities, finds that red light cameras reduced fatalities by 24% and saved 159 lives between the years of 2004 and 2008. Emily Whitesell, WUVT News.
Thanks, Emily. We now turn to WVCW's Erica Torini for this week's headlines from Richmond.
These are the week's headlines for Capital News Radio. I'm Erica Torini. The Senate Finance Committee has killed Senate Bill 1394, which would have allocated a portion of sales tax to fund transportation projects in Virginia's most congested areas. Meanwhile, Governor Bob McDonnell's transportation plan is moving through the General Assembly. On Friday, the House of Delegates voted 65-33 in favor of House Bill 2527. The plan would fund about $4 billion in transportation projects, with the state borrowing about $3 billion. Virginia would reduce traffic congestions and support about 57,000 more jobs if the 16 mega projects are completed, according to Stephen Fuller, a professor at George Mason University School of Public Policy and director of its Center for Regional Analysis. The projects would include widening of Interstate 66 in Northern Virginia, extension of HOV lanes on Interstate 95 or 395, widening and improving of multiple sections of Route 58, work on Midtown Tunnel Tube in Norfolk. However, critics say it puts the state too deeply in debt. Moreover, the plan would divert money from education, law enforcement, and other core services. In other transportation-related news, under a bill unanimously approved by the Senate Transportation Committee, Virginia motorists would have to give bicyclists a little more room on the road. Senate Bill 928 would increase the minimum distance for cars passing bicycles from 2 to 3 feet. Jan Burnley, president of the Virginia Bicycling Federation, said that while an extra 12 inches may not seem like much, it would make a big difference for cyclists. He said, quote, "We had 11 fatalities last year and 11 fatalities the year before of bicyclists hit by vehicles," unquote. Burnley said the extra foot of passing room would bring Virginia to the standard recommended by the American League of Cyclists. The bill is now awaiting action from the full Senate. Additionally, a Senate committee has killed two bills that would have brought Virginia up to speed with national DUI standards. With little debate, the Senate Courts of Justice Committee voted 14-1 that Senate Bill 1075 be passed by indefinitely. The bill would have changed the administrative license suspension period for DUI offenders from 7 days to 60 days, still below the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration's recommended 90-day suspension. 43 states have ALS provisions. 4 have a suspension period of less than 90 days. Virginia's is the shortest. In another Senate committee this week, a bill was approved that would make it a Class 1 misdemeanor for someone who is drunk or on illegal drugs to carry a loaded gun in a public place. The Senate Courts of Justice Committee unanimously endorsed Senate Bill 1395, introduced by Senator A. Donald McKeon, a Richmond Democrat. The measure is now being considered by the full Senate. Capital News Radio is a service of WVCW News at Virginia Commonwealth University in Richmond. I'm Erica Turini.
Thanks, Erica. Today's guest in the studio with Mike Benonis is Angie DeSoto. Angie is the Campus Sustainability Planner at Virginia Tech, and today she'll be talking about what efforts the Office of Energy and Sustainability is working on this semester. Mike?
Alrighty, thank you, Camarian. Angie, I want to thank you for coming on the show this afternoon and spending your time right before the Super Bowl with us.
Definitely. Thanks for having me on. I really appreciate the opportunity to talk to the listeners about what we have going on and answer any questions and invite people to get in touch.
Fantastic. Well, we'll jump right into things with Recycle Mania, which is, as I understand it, one of your two big programs going on right now. Can you tell us a little bit about what it is and who's participating in it?
Sure. Recycle Mania is actually a national competition between colleges and universities around waste generation and recycling. It's a focus on different categories. We're actually participating in all of the competitions, but the whole point is really to get people motivated to reduce the amount of waste that they're producing and increase their recycling rates. So, you know, we have some friendly competitions between schools in Virginia, but we're also really focusing here on campus and have set some goals to reduce our waste generation by 10% and increase our recycling rate by 5%.
Okay. Well, how much are we recycling right now and how much are we throwing out? Do you have any rough ideas?
Yeah, definitely. I can talk to you about some of the waste generation numbers. We actually have put out an annual report that folks can check out on our website that talks about, you know, how we did in our first year of implementation of our sustainability policy. But right now we're hovering right around a 35% recycling rate.
Okay.
That includes a lot of numbers that people don't traditionally include when they think about our recycling rate. So that includes, you know, some contributions from our construction and demolition waste generation. So when we build a new building on campus, we actually do a really great job in terms of diverting those materials from the landfill. But it also includes the principal recyclable materials like bottles and cans, paper, things that people usually see around campus.
Sure. Well, for a construction project, what kind of materials can be recycled? I'd imagine like bulk metal can be recycled and other things. What kind of things are you all looking at keeping out of the landfill?
That's one of the projects that I actually don't have a whole lot of involvement with. But there's, you know, scrap wood that, you know, they can collect and then, you know, go through a process that they can then press it down into press board. And the metal is a big one. There's a lot of things with especially large renovations of buildings on campus. They used to traditionally use stones on the roofs for certain purposes, and so they collect those stones, and we have piles back behind the Chicken Hill lot on campus that they store these materials that they can use again in either, you know, paving processes on campus or, you know, other renovations for other buildings. So they're either recycled or they're reused in another construction process.
That's great. Well, I didn't even know they were doing that, so that's really good to hear. So Recycle Mania, when did it start this year, and is it a newish program? Is this something in the last few years, or has this been going on for a while?
It's been going on for several years, and this is actually our fourth year participating. We have not done the best job in the past of promoting this event and letting people know that we are participating. Last year was really our biggest splash, so we're trying to make more of a splash this year. But it's something that's been going on for, I think, 6 years now nationally. It came out of the College and Universities Recycling Coalition as a way to have universities focus a little bit more in this area. Everybody knows when you put a competition to something, people get more engaged.
Great. So what, so Virginia Tech participates as a whole unit, I guess, correct?
Yes.
And what materials are you all counting towards the recycling for the competition, at least? Is
for the
it just bottles, cans, paper?
Yes, it's all of the traditional recyclable materials, so bottles and cans, you know, that's including plastics, glass, steel, aluminum, then also looking at mixed paper and fibers. We kind of call that stream fibers. That includes mixed paper and cardboard and even, you know, paperboard, which people think of cereal boxes. We're also looking at composting. So there's an organics category. So we have a humongous composting program on campus that Dining Services runs. And, you know, so we're participating in all of those traditional streams.
Great. So I think we've had some folks from Dining Services on before to talk about composting. So we'll see if we can get them on the show again to talk a little bit about that. I understand that's not really your area.
Right, right. A lot of people don't understand how the university actually works. And there's two main, I'd say, categories of how things are operated on campus. There's an ENG side, and then there's an auxiliary side. And ENG is it's state funding and really focused on education in general. That's what ENG stands for. And then the auxiliary side are self-funded. So mm-hmm. Dining Services, Housing Services, Athletics, the Inn, those are all auxiliaries. And so they have their own sustainability coordinator that we work with very closely. Elena and I communicate very regularly, but they have their own operations separate from ours.
Gotcha. Very cool. Well, where can people find more about RecycleMania?
You can go to our website. It's www.facilities.vt.edu/sustainability. Or if you just go to the Virginia Tech homepage and search sustainability, will be the first website that pops up. And there's a little blurb on our website that talks about it, and you can link to there.
Okay.
Or if you just Google RecycleMania, you'll be able to find it.
Cool. Well, let's talk about Eco Olympics, the other competition going on right now. And that has more to do with residence halls, as I understand it, and reducing the amount of power that they're using.
Right. Eco Olympics is it's a new program. It was just first started last year. It's a program that the SGA runs. And the whole point of it is to really get students in the residence halls engaged about thinking differently of how much energy they consume. So the focus is really on electricity reduction. So we have meters for each of the residence halls that we track every week, and then we send out an email to all of the folks in the buildings that lets them know how much energy they are consuming in comparison to the week before. And the halls are separated into categories or groups. So there's large residence halls, medium, and then there's ones that have air conditioning and things like that that separate them, just because it's unfair for Pritchard to compete against Johnson and, you know, not have any kind of normalizers.
Sure, sure. So what can residents do? I mean, there's the obvious. You can turn your lights off when you're not in the room. Don't run the TV, you know. What are some of the more odd things that might people might not think of first off to save energy?
Right. There's actually a whole slew of things that folks usually don't think about. And the one that I like to bring up the most is phantom load energy. And that's really, if you think about, you know, TVs and a lot of electronic devices, when they're plugged in but they're actually turned off, they're still pulling electricity. So by plugging things into a power strip and turning it off, you're eliminating that load.
That's like leaving your cell phone charger in even when the phone's in your pocket.
Exactly.
And that's
exactly.
Still going to draw some power then.
Exactly. So even if you have things turned off, if you don't have them in a power strip and turn that power strip off, you're still consuming electricity. Another thing you can do is, you know, thinking about heat. When you're washing your hands, if you're only going to turn the water on for, say, 2 seconds or 3 seconds to wash your hands, if you put it on cold instead of hot, even if you put it on hot and you don't actually get that hot water, because obviously we all know it takes a little while to get through the pipes, that you are actually consuming significantly more electricity because you're having the water heater have to turn on to heat up more mm-hmm. water, even though you're not getting the benefit of having heated water. So that's something that if you just think about, you know, which direction your handle is going in terms of hot or cold, that's something that a lot of people don't think about.
Okay. Well, we've got a couple minutes here before we'll take our break, but I want to talk a little bit about recycling, going a little bit back to Recycle Mania and so forth. What recycling options are on campus right now? What can people get rid of without throwing it away?
Great. Yeah. There's actually two different sets of materials that you can recycle in Blacksburg. Here on campus, it's slightly different than some of the opportunities to recycle in Blacksburg. Our accepted materials are the same as the town of Blacksburg, but the YMCA up on North Main actually has a single stream program that you can pretty much recycle anything that's recyclable.
Okay.
But here on campus, we accept plastics number one and two, but they have to be bottles and jugs. A lot of people didn't know that.
Okay.
And so if you have a container that's a one, but you know, it doesn't have that mouth to it, you can't recycle that through our program on campus.
Okay.
They are working on retrofitting the equipment at MRSWA, the Montgomery Regional Solid Waste Authority, where our materials go. So ideally, at the beginning of the fall semester, they're going to be accepting plastics 1 through 7.
Oh, that'll be great.
So we're in the process and we're working on it. It's something that is going to be really important for capturing those materials.
Now, bottles, you have to take the cap off, right?
Actually, you do not.
Oh, you
not
don't?
Anymore. There's been improvements in the technology, and the main issues were really that if you left the cap on, that one, the liquid, if there was any left in, wouldn't drain out. And two, there were pressure issues. So when they were condensing them, the bottles, that if the cap was still on, it wouldn't condense properly. But now our facility has these blades that when they're sorting, the bottle goes through and a blade cuts little slits in it. So it allows for the air to be released when it's being condensed.
Gotcha.
So yeah, that's a question I get a lot. But in terms of, that's for plastics, then for, you know, obviously we accept aluminum and steel cans.
Mm-hmm.
And then we accept all colors of glass.
Okay.
They like non-broken glass, but, you know, if it's big enough pieces, then they'll accept it. But all of those materials are in what we call the commingled stream.
Okay.
So it's kind of a container. So you can think of containers. And then on the fibers side, we have mixed paper, which pretty much anything that's made from a tree that's not waxy or laminated.
Okay.
They'll
so
take
don't
it.
Throw the glossy stuff.
Right. Well, you know, you can put the glossy stuff just as long as it's not laminated. So
okay.
It actually has that plastic on
gotcha.
The outside.
The real thick stuff.
Right.
Gotcha.
Right. But the glossy, we take the glossy. And then on the other side of the fibers is cardboard, so corrugated cardboard. But we do accept things like tissue boxes and the rolls that toilet paper come on. That's all a part of the fiber stream.
Okay, great. So you can put all that. And I guess cardboard has their own big containers.
Mm-hmm.
And where are the trash cans or the recycling cans and trash cans on campus? I know there's not enough, at least for recycling.
Definitely. And that is something we are really working on. Unfortunately, recycling bins are extremely expensive. And so in these economic times, we've been trying to get creative. And something that has really benefited the program is that they just changed their rates at MRSWA, where our materials go. So all mixed paper is actually free to recycle now for us, where we were paying over $20 a ton.
Oh, great.
So if people are actually putting their paper in the trash instead of recycling it, we pay $51 a ton for trash. So it's in our financial interest to make sure we're recycling as much of our materials as possible.
Fantastic. Well, we're going to take a short break here and for a brief announcement on the weather. When we come back, we're going to talk about recycling at football games, and then we'll get into some transportation issues. So stick around. This is Tech Talk.
Are ye played by foreclosure? Well, here at Jim, Lad, and Matey, we can stop your foreclosure now. We're a mortgage rescue company, and for the small fee of everything you hold dear, we will negotiate with your lender on your behalf. Call Jim, Lad, and Matey at 1-800-YAR-YAR. That's 1-800-YAR-YAR-YAR.
If you're facing foreclosure, talk to the right people. Speak with HUD-approved housing counselors free of charge at 888-995-HOPE. Brought to you by NeighborWorks America and the Ad Council.
It was seasonably warm out for a change today, with highs reaching into the mid-40s around the area under clear skies. Look for lows tonight in the upper 20s and highs tomorrow around 50 with partly sunny skies. Temperatures will drop Monday night, though, as a low pressure system passes through the area. Later in the week, we're keeping an eye out on a low front coming out of the Gulf of Mexico. Models are in agreement that we'll see some snow Wednesday and Thursday, but it's too early to talk about how much snow we'll get. Stay tuned to the WUVT News team for the latest on this winter storm. For now, though, enjoy the warm weather while it lasts. It's clear around the area this afternoon with a temperature of 50 in Roanoke, 48 in Dublin, 39 in Marion and Withville, 43 in Bluefield, and 45 outside the WUVT studios in downtown Blacksburg, Virginia. Now back over to Mike and Angie in Studio C. Mike?
All right. Thanks, Camarian. Welcome back. We were talking about recycling on campus, and one of the major events, or series of major events, of course, is football. And I know that my discussions with Bo Hart, that we've been working on some programs to get recycling at football games, but I know for a fact that at my tailgate, I never saw a recycling can once. So I had to throw everything away. What are you all working on for next year to really, are you working on any programs to get more recycling at football? Or?
We are, and that is one thing that we have been dedicating a lot of time to. Actually, we have a project team within our internship program that's focusing on zero waste football game. So they're actually planning what we're calling green effect game for next season, that we're really going to ramp up our efforts for this one game and make an attempt at a near zero waste event. But the major challenges really lie in having enough receptacles for everyone to recycle their materials.
Absolutely.
We have those maroon igloos, but what we found in terms of talking to tailgaters is that they blend in and people don't really notice them. Whereas if we had brighter colored receptacles,
bright green and blue.
Exactly. Right now they're maroon, and you see maroon and orange everywhere on a game day. So, being able to not only significantly increase the number of receptacles, but making them stand out more and have better signage of what is and is not recyclable. When it boils down to it, we are dealing with end users that need as much direction as possible at this point.
That's a very polite way to phrase that.
But we want everyone to have as much fun as possible while still tailgating responsibly.
Mm-hmm. Well, we'll look for that. Hopefully we'll hear more about the green effect game. That would be really cool. But more receptacles. A lot more receptacles would do really well, especially bright green ones.
Definitely.
So, well, let's shift gears here and talk a little bit about transportation and parking on campus. It's
okay.
One of the everyone's favorite subject to hate. First, the BT. I heard they got some new hybrid buses. They've been running them for about a semester. We all saw the green, psychedelic, trippy LSD bus that they were driving around for a while. I think they may have taken the wrap off of that. But how are those working out, and what role did your office have in planning that, if any?
That all of the transportation and alternative transportation initiatives are run out of the alternative transportation office, although you can't really call it an office. It's one woman that's doing a phenomenal job. Debbie Freed really deserves a lot of credit for the progress that she's made here on campus, but she works with the BT, which is actually run by the town.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's a partnership between Virginia Tech and the town around BT. But as far as I know, everything's been going well with the BT and the hybrid buses. They've launched the tracking system, so you can actually see where buses are and when, and be updated on when they're coming closest to you. A lot of people don't realize that the majority of students at Virginia Tech live within a 2-mile radius of campus, and everyone likes to complain about parking,
mm-hmm.
and there's not enough parking close enough to where I need to get, but you have access to one of the best bus systems in the nation on a college campus, and we have a lot of people participating in using it. But if we could improve that system by engaging more with students and understanding where the needs are and where we can improve it and, how to get people out of their cars, then there really is no need to drive to campus. And that's what's causing a lot of this congestion and parking issues.
Well, has there been, do you know of any studies that have been done or surveys to ask people why they drive?
The transportation office has done some surveys in the past. I am not sure if they've done one, you know, within the past year. That's something that, you know, my coworker actually in the office, one of his responsibilities is communicating with the transportation department. I focus more on academic programs and mm-hmm. campus engagement. But that's something that I think is a great idea, and really communicating more with the campus community is something that we need to do a better job of. Because if we can understand why people are choosing to do the things that they're doing, and what would incentivize them or motivate them to do the more sustainable option, then it'll make us better at our job. We'll reduce our impacts and you know, we'll have a safer climate for future generations.
Yeah. Well, we've got about 3-4 minutes left, so I'd like to talk about how Virginia Tech stacks up against the competition in terms of other schools. Now, you were telling me about a third-party, was it greenreportcard.org, that ranks all the schools to see how they're doing just overall with sustainability. So how do we stack up?
We stack up pretty well. We're doing well, and we have significantly increased our competitiveness, I guess you can say, nationally. If people want to check out the website, you can actually sort all of the schools in every way that you want. But I pulled up a list of all the schools in Virginia because most people are interested about that. And VCU is actually the best in the Commonwealth right now, and they have a grade of an A-. It's a traditional grade scale. And then we're tied for second with the College of William & Mary and George Mason. UVA actually got a lower grade this past year. So, you know, everyone likes a little bit of competitiveness, and we communicate often with the Office of Sustainability at UVA and try to find ways to work together. So, you know, we're doing really, really well, actually. We have a lot of room to grow, don't get me wrong, but, you know, in terms of nationally, we have some really standout programs and have been recognized several times for being a leader in campus sustainability.
Fantastic. And I'm sure that there are people who might be interested in working with your office. You mentioned an internship program and that you've had a great turnout. Tell me a little bit about that.
Great. Yeah, our undergraduate and graduate internship program has been a huge success. We had 10 interns last spring, and then we've renovated the model, is a nice way to say it, and we're launching a new model for interdisciplinary academic teams to tackle campus challenges. So it's really an effort to turn campus into a living laboratory and pull from the talented students that we have here to work together in collaborative teams to try and solve a campus challenge. It's been really successful so far, and we have project teams every semester from here on out. So we'll be having opportunities to join us this summer and then next fall, and every semester from there on out. So if they want to get in touch with us, they can just email us at sustainability@vt.edu.
sustainability@vt.edu. And website? What's the website again?
Website is a little more difficult, facilities.vt.edu/sustainability. But what we're one of the things that we're working on right now with our internship program is we're developing a web portal. So we're looking at having a website at vt.edu/sustainability. And it's a one-stop shop for anything you're interested in or want to know more about in terms of sustainability. So look for that. We're ideally launching that on Earth Day this year.
And will that combine some of the other offices you talked about, the transportation
yes.
and the dining? And
yes. And what a lot of people don't realize is that there's actually three pillars to sustainability. So it's not just environment focused, but there's a social sustainability piece and then making everything economically viable. So, you know, we'll be linking to all of the phenomenal diversity initiatives that we've been having here on campus and really digging into the social sustainability side of things as well.
Fantastic. Angie DeSoto, the Campus Sustainability Planner, thanks for coming on today.
Thank you for having me. I hope that people reach out and share your ideas and keep us accountable for what we've committed to in our university policy. It's our job.
Fantastic. Kamarian?
Thank you so much, guys. That does it for this Sunday's edition of Tech Talk. Look for today's show on the WUVT website at www.wuvt.vt.edu. We'd like to thank WVCW at Virginia Commonwealth University for producing Capital News Radio. Thanks to Emily Whitesell with WUVT News and Chris Anna and Ian Moore with WUVT Engineering. WUVT's News Director is Mike Benonis. You can reach the WUVT News Department at 540-231-9880 or at www.wuvt.vt.edu/staff. The views and opinions presented on Tech Talk do not reflect those of WUVT or its parent company, EMCVT. Thanks for tuning in today. We'll be back each weekday for the 5 o'clock news break and every Sunday at 5 o'clock for Tech Talk. For WUVT News, I'm Kamarian Millsaps. Have a good night.
We ask you to please be kind and courteous and
turn up your radio!
With insightful commentary.
I think, you know, Judi Dench has never looked so good in spandex.
Lindsay Lohan made a great career choice in not having one.
Three unaccomplished critics.
Ian McKellen just has a fistful of talent.
The movie reached out and gave me an Indian rug burn.
One stimulating conversation.
Keanu Reeves should definitely do more Shakespeare adaptations.
Gerard Butler says, "Move over, Road Warrior. Here comes The Gamer."
With serious reviews from serious critics.
Renee Zellweger is ugly.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. I had to go to the bathroom the entire time.
So you tuned in to the entertainment show.
Tina, I told you to pick me a better title.
Hello, Blacksburg!
This is the entertainment show.
This is the entertainment show.
We've got a new time, 5:35.
Hey!
So, go ahead and tune in. I'm Ryan Hunt.
I'm Jason Talbert.
I'm Alex Beard.
And I'm James Connors.
And we're glad to be with you on this Super Bowl Sunday.
Super Bowl Sunday.
Unlike some shows, which will not be named sports show.
It's so super.
We didn't cancel our show.
We didn't, you know...
We're dedicated.
Slack off today.
We're dedicated.
Because we know that we're more entertaining than the commercials for the Super Bowl.
And our show doesn't run during the Super Bowl. So, I mean, I feel like that had something to do with it.
Yeah.
Did it? Did it, though? Really?
We would have been here regardless. We love you, listeners.
Well, you would have been here.
So, the situation wants to do movies.
Good.
Uh-oh.
That's one heck of a situation.
That is one heck of a situation. I've seen a lot worse, you know, people in the reality television circuit do this type of stuff.
Yeah.
I don't see why he can't get a spot on somewhere.
He is, like, pretty entertaining.
He is pretty entertaining.
Yeah, that's why.
Now, a fictional feature film, I don't know if that would be his forte, but if you did, like, a documentary on his life, like, which I guess is kind of what Jersey Shore is to an extent.
It should
but,
be
like,
called...
I'd follow him around with a camera for an hour and a half.
Yeah.
It should be called GTL or whatever that...
Jim Tanning Laundry is what you're referring to, Alex?
That's I haven't really seen
it. It's just
the show.
A story about him going to the gym and then going tanning and then
wait
doing
a second.
His laundry.
There's already a show that's
wait
like
a minute.
That.
What's that called?
I think it's called The Shore of Jers.
Oh, yeah.
It's,
I've heard
it's
about
a
that.
Short film. It was directed by Darren Aronofsky when he was just starting out.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
It's really impressive how it all came together.
It's a college film.
Yeah, I mean, if Dolph Lundgren can have a career, why can't The Situation? I mean, you know, the guy he's got washboard abs.
I feel like
he's definitely entertaining.
I may have already brought this up, but the PSA with Sarah Palin's kid that he was in with.
It was a
PSA about abstinence, and it was bad.
And he was in it?
He was in it. He was like, why? He was trying to get with Sarah Palin's daughter. What's her name? The one who had the baby?
Bristol Palin.
Bristol. Yeah. He was trying to get with Bristol and backstage of Dancing with the Stars. And she's like, no, I've made up my mind. Abstinence all the way.
Yeah. That's like Voldemort around here, Sarah Palin, so around this campus. So,
so she,
I think it's in our guidelines as a host of a WVT radio show to light you on fire for saying that.
Good thing I brought my 7-Eleven lighter.
Yeah, there you go. But, yeah, I think we've said all there, that needs to be said about the situation. He wants to do movies. There's your top news story of the day.
I haven't said everything.
I'm going to jump to that. I'm going to jump to the three movies that we're most looking forward to in 2011 to the last topic before PSA and get these little tiny stories in. Frankie Muniz is making a comeback with New Year's Eve.
Yes.
No, he's not.
No, probably not.
I know you guys got your hopes up out there, but sorry.
They also replaced Halle Berry in this movie with Katherine Heigl. So,
yes.
If they could get enough negative buzz for 1 week.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I don't know. Frankie Muniz has always kind of bothered me. I liked him in Malcolm in the Middle, and everything else he's done, I've kind of found him annoying.
I liked him in that Disney Channel original about when he was in a wheelchair.
Yo, he's
that movie was amazing.
He's an F1 racer now.
It was pretty good.
He's an F1 racer now?
Is he really?
Yeah.
What?
What in the world?
He's a great F actor as well. So,
he's on that F status.
Yeah, New Year's Eve. I really despise this project.
Yeah. I guarantee some people on chat will let us know what the title of that Frankie Muniz wheelchair movie is.
I guess we should get this on the chat. We also are opening up the chat, ladies and gentlemen, on our Tumblr site.
Tumblr.
Which is...
Upgrade.
Upgrade.
If you type in on Google the Entertainment Show Tumblr, which is T-U-M-B-L-R, it is the number one.
Yeah. And
because we're popular.
The URL, it's www.theentertainmentshow.tumblr.com.
There you go. And so we'll be chatting with you. We also re-recorded a intro that we didn't get to today, but that'll be there for you next week. So, Alex and Jason, it's been about 3 or 4 months, but we finally let you, jump on board the intro.
I'm an actual part now?
Yeah, we got you a slot.
Thanks, I'm still a temp.
James and I did some late night editing last night.
That's
the new product. I didn't want to tell you, though.
Because I tell you, I have always been scared that my mic hasn't been on this whole time, and you guys have just, like, entertained me.
Not to mention
letting
all that.
Me stay.
We're not even broadcasting.
Not to mention all the hazing really has just hurt my soul. You know, I really wanted that status.
We had to break you in.
Yeah.
But
I'd eat a goldfish.
Yeah, that'll
and
be
And by break you in, we
to.
Mean... break you in half.
There you go.
Through a window.
Well, I mean, when
and we do when you, sincerely apologize about that, and especially about drawing the chalk outline around you afterwards and pretending you were dead.
When you cut off all my fingers, you know, it was one thing. But when it went to the big toes, like,
I had to look over radio.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. You know how many germs
so that'll
are on
be something
things.
To look forward to next week. And then when it doesn't happen next week, I'll tease it for the following week.
Yeah.
There you go.
That's what they're doing for The Hobbit.
Joseph Gordon-Levitt is joining The Dark Knight Rises. I think that's great news.
But
this
what
isn't
is he
really
going
surprising.
To
I agreed that it was great news until I heard that he was going to play a villain.
Well,
that's
not,
what,
that's not confirmed.
That's not confirmed.
That's not confirmed.
But you were saying that you thought that that's what was going to happen.
Well, yeah. I mean, that's the buzz.
Yeah.
The I mean, industry.
I'm not scared of him, but I'm not scared of Joseph Gordon. Like, the Joker is one thing.
I wasn't scared of Heath
Ledger
either.
Joseph Gordon-Levitt has a lot of range, man. I think he's
going to No, I agree. He's great, but he's got such a baby face.
You don't have to be scared of him either.
He's got a baby face.
Just because he's a villain doesn't mean he has to be necessarily scary.
Yeah.
I wasn't really scared of Ra's al Ghul, Liam Neeson's character. Like, I thought it was a brilliant performance, but I wasn't really scared of him.
I peed my pants.
Okay,
personally.
Well, Beard was scared of Liam Neeson and Batman Begins.
Well, you know, breaking news, Joseph Gordon-Levitt is going to be playing Barbara Gordon.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Later, who becomes Batgirl.
Right.
Oh.
He has the figure for it.
He
who
does.
In the comics is married
he would look
to
great in the
is
suit.
Married to Gordon Block.
Yeah.
But so that's good news, I think, for the Batman world. We're kind of speeding through these because we got on a little late here today. We know you got a Super Bowl to watch. Courtney Love allegedly stole $4,000 worth of flowers.
What I want to know is, what does she need $4,000 worth of flowers for?
But she also stole Kurt Cobain's life.
Yeah, I'll tell you what she's not doing.
That's not
putting
the worst
them
thing she's
on
stolen.
His grave.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. But, she is just crazy.
She'll get away with it.
She's gross.
She'll get away with it.
She is gross. I'm surprised I didn't put her on my top nine least desirable women.
She'll get out of it because she'll say that the flowers stole themselves.
Well, I'm pretty sure. I'm pretty sure when you write her name down on a piece of paper, it just burns. It just catches on fire. It's one of those unexplainable things.
Talk about a role model.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Any of you young ladies out there,
she likes. Well, she likes to roll. And she has maybe done some modeling.
Why?
Ew. Yeah, she. She's just gross.
Yeah.
Ew.
And
talk about a loose woman.
Take that however you will. Yeah, I mean, I think we'll move on.
She stole some flowers. People are upset.
Exactly. Apparently, this florist is. I mean, $4,000 worth of flowers. That's a lot of flowers.
Well,
flowers.
No, there's a bigger question here. $4,000 worth of flowers. Like, what is that? Like, you stole my whole garden.
Like, yeah, seriously. That's I guess it was for her new greenhouse.
My 60-acre flower garden. Like, what?
That's an entire store.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She just walked in and lit it on fire.
She ordered them and just wasn't like paying for them.
Yeah.
She kept ordering
them from like 1-800-flowers.com.
According to her, the flower shop committed suicide. So
that's what I'm saying. The flowers stole themselves. She didn't do it.
Yeah.
She didn't have any involvement whatsoever.
No.
And she's terribly upset about it.
Yeah. No, absolutely. I think we'll tease one movie that we're looking forward to in 2011 and we'll carry that into the next segment because we only have 2 minutes before PSA. And, I don't know if anybody ranked these. Did you rank them, Jason?
I didn't. I just have three.
Okay, so just give me one, Jason.
I'll give you Cedar Rapids.
Cedar Rapids. I think it looks
John
good.
C. Riley and Ed Helms looks
I hilarious.
I showed
the trailer for this the other day.
It's an independent
really
film.
Funny.
Yeah,
looks hilarious.
That's a good pick. Good pick. I don't think I'm going to agree with the other two that you have, but I do agree with that one. Beard, what do you have?
I always write more that I'm not looking forward to than looking
Well, go
forward
ahead.
To.
Throw it but, out there.
Well, no, I'll give a good one. I'm actually looking forward to Harry Crown.
Larry Crown, the Tom Hanks, the Tom Hanks, Julia Roberts movie.
I was thinking
movie.
Hanks, I guess. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's going to be cool.
Yeah. It sounds, I mean, the last thing Tom Hanks wrote and directed was That Thing You Do.
Which was amazing.
Which is a pretty good movie.
Yeah, exactly. There was actually, when they were filming, there was a Woody doll on one of the shelves and he was like, paradox.
I haven't heard anything about this film though. What's it about?
It's not getting a lot of buzz. It comes out this summer. He came on Conan and joked about it. He was like, "Why am I here on Conan? I have nothing to talk about."
Yeah.
My movie doesn't come out till June.
I saw that. Yeah.
So you know,
he's like a convenience store manager, or not like a convenience, like a Target or
right.
like Walmart.
Is this supposed to be a comedy or?
It's a comedy. I mean, yeah. It's a romantic comedy.
Okay, cool.
James, before we go to PSA, can you give me one?
Yeah. I'm going to go with Harry Potter Part 2.
Okay. That's nice. A good choice.
Oh, what a good nice. One. I forgot
that's
about that.
A good
that.
Choice. And I'm going to go
Thank
with Big Mama's House Like Father Like Son.
All right.
So it is PSA time. We'll be back with you in a minute.
At 4:15 p.m. at an office in Michigan, Angie Hicks is not at her desk. She's giving blood at the company blood drive.
At the same time, in the same office, Kevin Meehan is not at his desk. He's at the doctor. Kevin has cancer and needs another round of chemo.
Kevin will need blood to fight his cancer.
Angie's blood will help him win.
When you give blood to the American Red Cross, you change a life.
Starting with your own.
Call 1-800-GIVE-LIFE or visit givelife.org to schedule your appointment to give blood.
Okay.
Anyway.
Kind of tough to lift our spirits after that one.
See?
Such
Thanks,
a,
Ian.
Such a clash of, you know,
for ruining
emotions.
My Super Bowl Sunday.
I'm sad.
You sad. Know what I'm going to do next week? Phone it in. I'm not even going to show up.
Who do you guys got in the Super Bowl?
What are you, the
huh?
sports show?
Oh, no.
Oh! I have the team that plays with the ball.
The Bears,
That's
yeah.
the one that I vote
I'm going
for.
With them, too.
The Bears.
I like their quarterback, Bears. Mark Sanchez.
I'm going to go with the Bulls.
The Bulls. The Denver Nuggets.
I'm going to go with Winnipeg. They in the bowl this year.
All right,
Canadian Football League.
Yeah,
big fans.
Cool runnings.
The Jamaican
what a
football
film.
Team.
Yeah.
What a film. That's the sequel coming out. You haven't
too
heard
bad
about
John
this.
Candy died, because that would have been a great sequel. Ooh. I didn't even mean that as a joke.
No, no. It is too bad that
Cool Runnings is just great.
No, I don't crack jokes on John Candy. He's the man.
I'm not smoking. I'm breathing.
With him.
In heaven.
Yes. Oh, I tell them that I miss him, and I talk to him every night before bed.
I know you do.
I pray to John Candy.
Because I hear you talking to him.
He's my JC. I pray to John Candy. Movies we're looking forward to. I was kidding, obviously, about Big Mama's House. If you
really?
Actually want to go see that movie, go
turn
to
off your
microwave
radio.
And put your head in it for me. Because
put it on the high.
Paul is a movie that I'm really looking forward to see.
That was on my list as well.
Directed by Greg Mottola, the director of Superbad and Adventureland with the alien, Seth Rogen voiced
live action
Simon Pegg, Nick Frost movie. Yeah.
Jason Bateman's in it. I love that guy.
Jane Lynch, Kristen Wiig, Bill Hader.
Oh.
Yeah, I could just run through this. Yeah.
The voice is Seth Rogen.
Okay. So you're filling in. Gordon Block's not here to do his nipple rub in the window, so you're going to do yours in the...
They're chafed. They are chafed.
Yeah. They're bleeding. Go easy on them.
But, it looks like... what's the director's name?
Greg Mottola.
He really likes to work with Bill Hader.
Yeah, he does.
Likes that guy.
He's just like, hey, Bill, we're working on a movie. You want to be in this?
Yeah. He's also one of a few people that know how amazing the guy is.
Yeah.
Bill Hader in Adventureland is hilarious.
So
him
good.
And Chris. Kristen Wiig.
Yeah.
They're both hilarious.
High fives.
So good. Yeah. So
since way I didn't, to go, Bill Hader.
Since I didn't list one before the PSA, I'll go ahead and list a second one that I'm really looking forward to that I know James will agree with is Sucker Punch.
Yeah.
Directed by Zack Snyder. Jason kind of gave like a really distasteful look.
No, I get it. I'm sure it'll be like a well-made movie and everything. It's just not my type. I don't like that. I'm just not into it.
Yeah. Well-made movie.
I can't go there.
And Jason, don't...
Oh, it's no. The fact that it's not really happening, it's
you're
all in her head.
The
I'm like
fantasy type story.
Eh,
I got it.
You know,
but okay.
So I'm
well,
not a big Chronicles of Narnia
movie,
fan.
But you're a Harry Potter fan.
Yeah, but that's Harry Potter. Everyone loves that. I can't. I tried not to like it for a long time, but
hate
I did.
Harry Potter. Trust me.
I don't even like Lord of the Rings that much.
Okay.
All right.
I'll watch
now.
Now
you're leaving the room.
You have to go now.
Just to give you a play-by-play, James just pulled out some handcuffs. We're going to tie Jason to his microphone.
Guys, come on.
I have a hand grenade with the pin pulled. It's ready to go. You know what I'm really excited for? Friends the movie.
Oh! Rip on Jason.
You guys, they make fun of me because I think Friends is a quality show more so than Seinfeld. And I will say that on the entertainment show.
And if some of you just dropped dead, we're not liable for anything. Like, we do not have
Jerry
to pay any
Seinfeld.
Expenses.
That's the show to me. That's the show.
Well, you know what? Let's go ahead and do that next show. We'll have a debate, and I'm serious about this. We'll get people's opinions, and we'll see. We'll get like a poll. We'll put a poll on the entertainment show fan page. Everybody listening in, the two listeners that we have on Super Bowl Sunday, please spread the word that we will have a Seinfeld versus Friends battle to the death. And
that sounds entertaining.
And it does sound entertaining. And we'll probably be able to get David Schwimmer to be a guest host because he's not doing anything else.
Oh, yeah, because Jerry Seinfeld and the rest of the cast are doing a lot.
And you know what's going to happen?
The B-movie, that was great.
Poor Jerry Seinfeld. Yeah, he's really poor.
Poor David Schwimmer. He's really poor.
You know what's going to happen? It's going to be Jason and his girlfriend Alexis sitting at their laptops refreshing their pages and clicking vote for Friends. And somehow Friends is going to like outweigh Seinfeld massively.
The same reason people like Meet the Browns and stuff like that, people like Seinfeld.
There's
all the wrong reasons.
I would say the same reason people like Meet the Browns, they like Friends.
Because it was forced down their throats.
There's something coming in on our Enigma machine, guys. What is this? Hang on. A message from John Candy says Seinfeld's better than Friends.
Guys.
What in the world? Thanks, John Candy.
Guys, we're off topic here. Okay?
John
I got other films.
Came back
to the way
grave to tell you that Seinfeld is better than Friends.
And he
said
it on Enigma.
Ian, is Seinfeld better than Friends?
Guys, look.
It is.
Get out of here.
The voice of God himself.
Get out of here. Listen. Next week. Save it for next week, guys.
Okay, we will. Let's go ahead and move into our top 9 least desirable women, and we'll pick up our most anticipated movies as the first topic for next show, and then we'll probably just spend the rest of the half hour talking about how bad Friends is.
I could talk about how bad Seinfeld is for 5 shows.
We wouldn't let that happen. We would fire you by the first.
All right, we'll see.
The least desirable women. I'll go ahead and run down my 9 because I've got them right here. At number 9, I've got Miley Cyrus.
Yes.
Boo.
Gross.
Ew.
Gross.
Disagree.
Number 8.
I'll hit the disagree button. Keep going.
Number 8 that I have, Kirsten Dunst.
Disagree. I agree.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just thought about it.
Number seven, I've got Cameron Diaz, which I kind of ran her into the ground enough last show. Number six, and this is one I feel like we haven't talked about enough. I don't think Eva Longoria.
What?
I don't think she's that attractive.
No.
I really don't.
No.
Her personality, also pretty heinous.
Mm-hmm.
Number five.
Disagree button.
Number five, straight from the trailer park she walked out of, Megan Fox.
Woo! Disagree button.
Megan Fox is so gross. Like, it's just like...
She is nasty.
Yes.
She's got
the skin color of an orange peel.
She's just gross.
But out of all the like Hollywood stars that are unattractive, her... Like,
yeah,
you're going to say is one of the most unattractive?
This isn't most unattractive. This is least desirable.
Okay.
So you put in the personality to this category.
I didn't even think about
I've
that.
I've heard her try and speak English.
As soon as Marilyn Monroe goes on your chest, just immediate, you're on the list.
Are we blacklisting again in Hollywood?
I thought it was on her side.
No, it's on her forearm.
And it was pooped there. That's a poop stain. That's not even a tattoo.
By Billy Ray Cyrus.
Yeah.
That poop joke was brought to you by the entertainment show.
Number four, another heinous personality, Katherine Heigl.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I don't really think she's that attractive either.
No.
Number three, Kate Hudson. Pretty much for every movie she's made post Almost Famous.
Yeah. I have more reasons to be angry at her than just her career. First of all, she was dating Chris Robbins, lead singer of the Black Crowes, like had his child, and then cheated on him with Owen Wilson. And then now she's having Matthew Bellamy's baby, the lead singer of Muse, and Muse sucks now.
Okay, she gets around. Guys, she gets around.
She's the Yoko Ono of today.
I hope she breaks up Muse,
because please don't make another album.
I like
Yoko
her.
Yoko Ono is a visionary genius.
My brain just exploded. I just put it in a microwave.
Yo, God, Yoko Ono. That really does. That's like, I need painkillers to deal with that the rest of the day. Number two, Sarah Jessica Parker.
I forgot about her. She would be number one on mine.
And my number one, as teased in the intro to the show, is Renee Zellweger.
Mm-hmm.
Just because I would never, like, she fluctuates too much. Mm-hmm. You know
she
what
was
I mean?
Better. She was pretty good looking in Jerry Maguire. She was okay.
And she was pretty good looking in Jerry Maguire and in Me, Myself, and Irene. I didn't think she looked that
bad.
Yeah,
she was all right.
But, you know, these days, man.
Woo. Watch out.
Yeah.
Ow.
Okay. Yep. Like kissing a toilet seat.
Somebody else's turn.
Power through right now. Mine are in no particular order, just nine top women.
Okay.
Maggie Gyllenhaal. I was just watching The Dark Knight today.
Who you refer to as a Saint Bernard.
Yes, and I will go on record and say that again.
Oh, I like that. I like that girl.
I like Maggie Gyllenhaal as an actress. I do.
I had this, I don't know, I had this theme going at first. Maggie Gyllenhaal, Katie Holmes. I'm not that into Katie Holmes either.
I'm not a big Katie Holmes fan.
Kesha.
Whoa.
No, not for me, Kesha. Resident Evil's own Mila Djokovic.
Was that a personal address to Kesha?
Yeah, because she's been trying, Ryan. And I'm just not
like
having it.
She's been blowing your phone
up. I'm not having it. At first, I tried to like make myself believe she was good looking. No, she's not. No matter which way you cut it.
Mila Djokovic is an interesting one. I found her attractive before.
Kinda. You know. But at the same time, it's like either attractive or completely ugly.
She also picks some of the worst scripts. Like
what is she doing?
Not understand her at all. Well, she's married to the director and like the one who brought the Resident Evil films into the business. Thank you for that, Jesus.
That dude.
Jesus
didn't do that, Ryan.
No, John Candy did.
Oh.
But go ahead.
Taylor Swift. She looks like an alien. You know
the
you know
she's
the
not dating Jakey anymore.
The red-haired girl from That 70s Show. She's not famous or anything, but the red-haired girl from That 70s Show.
Oh, I like her.
She's completely unattractive.
I think she's a terrible actress, but I think she's attractive.
Do you know her comedian? No. You look okay. He doesn't.
Hillary Swank.
You're looking at me like you knew something. Go ahead.
Hillary Swank.
Hillary Swank.
Oh
yeah.
God.
And the Indian chick from The Office. She's been in movies where she's supposed to be like desirable.
She's so
and I'm like, no strings attached. They were trying to act like she was good looking, and I'm like,
yeah.
No.
I was ready to get in with the gay guy from Chelsea Handler.
She may be funny.
So gross.
She may be funny, but she is not attractive.
No.
All right.
She is good as Kelly in The Office. We're ready, Beard.
All right. So we got number one being, this is no order, but this is, it probably has some kind of psychological order. Megan Fox, gross.
Disagree, bud.
Charlene Yee, gross. All right. Jennifer Aniston, gross.
Whoa.
Yep. That's
whoa,
right.
Don't you?
I don't know if I could put that.
Yep. No. Nah, I feel like she has a good personality,
nah,
too.
Dude, she has herpes.
Don't diss Rachel. Don't diss Rachel just because you like Seinfeld.
Renee Zellweger.
Waiting on a world to change.
Oh, man. Waiting on the herpes to come back.
Oh!
Taylor Swift. Gross. Miley Cyrus. Gross.
Disagree. Yes.
Britney Spears. Really gross.
Whoa! She was gross for a year.
Nah, she's,
then she came
no,
back.
She's still gross. She's
have
still
you
gross.
Seen the Womanizer music video?
I don't look even want to.
Look at have her
you,
in the tabloids.
Have too. You seen the extensive behind the scenes, like, airbrushing that went on there?
Whatever.
Yeah, they brought in a wind tunnel.
All right, so then we got Paris Hilton.
Oh, she's hot.
Oh, my God. I'm going to punch
she's
her
She's an idiot,
face.
But she's hot. She's no. good looking.
And then all of the... Drum roll, please. All of the Kardashians. Get them out of here.
Whoa.
Ew.
I'll hit 7 disagrees buttons.
Ew.
Are you kidding me?
The one's booty is not good. It's gross. It's like,
what?
It's like a small child.
Was Khloe Kardashian's original father Andre the Giant?
That's the only one I'll agree with you on. Is her.
That's gross.
All the rest are
nasty.
Good looking.
Get them out of here.
Even the guys.
Ew.
Yeah.
James
Connors.
Okay.
2 minutes.
All right, this is what I got. And Beard, we had a really heated discussion about this before the show, and I can't believe I can't agree with you here. Noah Cyrus? Really? Really? You don't like Miley, but you like Noah?
Well,
that is disgusting.
Guys, come on. I don't want to.
Apparently.
Is Noah the one who has her own lingerie line?
Yeah.
At age like 14.
She's like 14.
That's hot.
I'm pretty sure I'm going
guys,
to jail.
Apparently, some girl in the chat room said, you guys have reached an all time low with our undesirable women.
Oh.
Breaking news.
That's tough for us to do because yeah. we've gone to some pretty low places.
My others are Kaylin Mayer, Chloe Grace Mortez, Emily Grace Reeves, Bella Thorne. Frankly, all the girls that are just too young just disgust me. They're just, get them out of the spotlight because they're 13?
Like
Abigail.
Boppers.
Yeah.
Abigail
I basically just looked up a video that was the best child stars of 2010 and put all the girls in there.
I'm pretty sure that's how you get the FBI to come to your house.
Yeah, probably.
Do you know who that was?
Me and Pete Townsend.
I do not.
Who said we had reached an all-time low. I'd love to talk to that individual.
I do not know who
okay,
that was.
Okay, well, funny enough, we have our least desirable men list as well.
Coming in at number one, Gerard Butler.
Coming in at number two, David Schwimmer.
Coming in at number three,
the entire cast of Seinfeld.
They're not all men.
Yeah, they're not all men.
Have you seen
order.
Elaine lately?
Oh, my gosh. Coming in
I
at
like
number
Julia
five,
Louis-Dreyfus.
Jason Tolbert.
Ew. Oh.
Ew. Threw somebody
man.
Under the bus.
Guys, once again, save it for next show.
Coming
We've
in
got
at
nothing
number
to look forward to.
Gordon Block.
That guy did nothing to you, Ryan. He's a nice man.
And no. close behind... is, of course, Tyler Perry. Number eight?
George Washington.
James Cameron.
James Cameron.
Yes.
James Cameron.
Yes.
George
least,
Washington.
That guy's gross. First of all, he, like, I, you know.
That guy's gross.
He is really, like, a disgusting-looking man.
Yeah.
He looks,
father, James.
Yeah, he absolutely is.
Listen, just because he's my father doesn't mean that I don't call him ugly face every time I see him.
Okay. It's one of those kind of relationships.
Yeah.
We don't have a number nine.
I still think George Washington belongs.
George Washington. That's number nine.
No, number nine is like Taft or something.
How about Cisco?
Stuck in the bath.
Cisco.
What's Cisco doing these
what
days?
The heck Let's is Cisco? Throw. Number 10, Ja Rule. Where the heck are you?
It's all good.
DMX. Number 11.
It's all
roof,
good.
Roof, roof.
Where my dog's at?
Give it
NWA. You. Number 12.
Are
Whoa,
you just,
I'm just running.
Did you badmouth NWA on
I
the
love
air?
NWA.
If you
actually.
Get shot on the way home,
express
we'll know
yourself.
Why.
No, I love NWA.
Number 12 is the lead singer of the.